With the rise of the Me Too movement came awareness of non-disclosure agreements in sexual harassment and assault cases. Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault Executive Director Polly Poskin speaks with Mary Cullen on who reaps the benefits.
Non-disclosure agreements or confidentiality agreements can be used in any situation where two parties want to keep the details and arrangements secret. Most recently, awareness has been brought to the use of non-disclosure agreements in cases of workplace sexual harassment and assault. Poskin says non-disclosure agreements are used to protect the accused, and that it's time to talk about a law restricting their use.
At some point when businesses or unions or even an individual, if he or she is a repetitive harasser, it has the effect of a cover-up. And, you know, we just have to have laws governing non-disclosure agreements because something needs to limit, not eradicate, these confidentiality agreements, because they really serve to protect the defendant. They really serve to protect the perpetrator and or the entity that's responsible for the employment or the representation of an individual that does this.
Can you explain what exactly a non-disclosure agreement is and what do they typically entail?
A non-disclosure agreement really is, it's a confidential settlement. And I think it kind of sets parameters about the incident, the subject matter, but it doesn't disclose any of the, perhaps the secrets of the settlement. You know, they become more known to us, I think, as a result of the Me Too movement, and essentially they are a deal cutting with defendants, and it prevents the victim or the plaintiff from publishing or revealing any of the results of the agreement.
So the state of Washington actually passed a law earlier this year, I believe in April, banning the use of non-disclosure agreements for claims of sexual harassment or assault. So why do companies use non-disclosure agreements, and what is the benefit to the employer?
Well, the benefit to the employer, it silences the plaintiff. It silences the victim. You know, that means that it hides or it conceals the claims of harassment. So then that, you know, sort of enables the business or the individual or the union from being revealed for the behavior that was perpetrated.
With that ability to conceal that type of behavior, is there a concern that maybe a company is just using this non-disclosure agreement to conceal one instance of sexual harassment or assault? But then there's the other side where it could be an ongoing issue that is never really brought to light because of non-disclosure agreements. Is that correct?
Well, yes, it is. Because I think, you know, these confidentiality provisions, I mean, I think they, you know, they hide sort of the severity and the pervasiveness of the harassment. So it's very damaging to the victim. I think, and it's also another silencer. I mean, victims of sexual violence, whether it be harassment or sexual assault, you know, they live in this culture in sort of an enforced silence. We tend to think the victims are the guilty ones. We tend to think that there was something the victim could have done to prevent that. We think that's something the victim did to engage, you know, that perpetrating behavior. You know, sometimes victims have always felt that it's in their best interest for there to be silence, either their own self-imposed silence or, in this case, maybe a legal silence, if you will, about what has happened to them, because they'll be, in effect, you know, further victimized if this becomes known. And then the companies or the business or the union, the individuals, they sort of build on that, you know, societal victim blaming to reach an agreement, reach a settlement about, well, we'll never talk about it, when in fact they're really taking care of themselves. They're really protecting sort of their own image or their own liability, or in some instances they just might be plain protecting the employee or the union member or the individual that they value greater than the person who's been victimized. It's created this culture of victim blaming, and it's created a culture of silence about what has happened. I mean, that's why, you know, all the way from Bill Cosby to Harvey Weinstein to Nassar at Michigan State University, to get away with what they did for so long and for it to have such severe impact on a victim's life and on our culture, so that we have sort of developed a sense of either immunity to the severity and the impact that it has on the victim, or we have developed a culture that minimizes how seriously sexual victimization, sexual violence impacts the victim and the lives of people close to her.
So in your position, you're obviously involved in tons of conversations having to do with sexual assault victims across the state. Would you say there might be a chance of Illinois having a law similar to the one that was passed in Washington that would ban the use?
Well, it wouldn't be a step too far. And there has been a lot of discussion about it. There has, sort of the step of not using public funds to create a settlement. Lots of discussion around that. I think it's a step in the effort of transparency and a step in believing and supporting the victim and honoring the victim's wishes in the outcome of this very heinous journey that she has to embark on before there's some semblance of recovery and moving forward. So it's a proposal whose time has come, and it's a conversation that needs to happen, and it will put victims at the front of public policy that acknowledges and recognizes the sexual victimization, the impact that it has on her, him as the victim, and what should be the conclusion, what should be the resolution of, the incident, and tipped more in favor of the victim.
That was Mary Cullen speaking with Polly Poskin, Executive Director of the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault, on the use of non-disclosure agreements.